God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? You can raise your virtual hand or wave at the screen. We'd like to welcome you. Have I allowed everyone to unmute themselves? I beg your pardon. I did not.
I did.
Thank you. Newcomers? No one? Okie dokie.
Yeah, I'm a newcomer.
Beg your pardon, who's that?
CC.
CC, welcome.
Welcome, CC.
Here last week, but I got cut off. I couldn't come back in.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Thanks for coming back.
I always will come back, absolutely.
Good, good. I hope to chat with you after the meeting. Anyone else? Okay, I'll now read the AA preamble, which tells us what AA is and what it is not. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and to help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not aligned with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. And the format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And this evening, we are discussing step three. And please welcome our panel this evening, Candida and Victor. Thank you. Thank you both. Just a moment, I will get the reading up for you. And here we go. Pages 60 through 63. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. From page 60. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he were sought. Candida, Victor, whichever of you would like to start first.
I'll start. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Candida. Yeah, I'm very grateful to be here. It's so nice to see you guys. I'm a little nervous tonight, but you know, step three is probably like one of my favorite steps and probably the step that eludes me the most. my sponsor, Victor, he's on with me today. What an honor to do this with him. I met Victor when I met him the day one of my recovery, but he became my sponsor when I was like 5 years sober. And I had just gotten fired by another sponsor calling me self-will run riot. How dare he? And I remember the first assignment Victor gave me was, you know, well, why don't you do a little inventory and see where you are self-will run riot in your life? And, you know, maybe what he's saying is true, maybe it's not true, but I did do a little inventory and I think I came to some things where I saw was a little self-will run riot. So I've been working now with Victor. I think it's 14, 15 years that we've been together working as sponsor and sponsee. And, you know, I learned so much from his example, and that's why he continues to be my sponsor. It's not what he says, it's like what he does. And I love his example, and I definitely try to follow. So we made a decision this month to like start working the steps again. So I'm on step two right now. And we were reading from the literature yesterday, and it was talking about like, about faith, the different kinds of people that come to AA. Some come believing in a higher power, some don't. And it was talking about how, you know, how a greedy child makes a list for Santa and gets upset because their wishes haven't been fulfilled. And that was a part of the reading that we read yesterday that like really sat with me, because, you know, I have to admit, I'm pretty guilty of that in my life right now. Like, things are not going my way, so I'm not very happy with my higher power. But getting back to the reading, you know, where it says, you know, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our lives, that's step one. That probably no human power could have relieved their alcoholism, step two, and that God could and would if he were sought. And I've heard that broken down, like, I can't, he can, so I'll let him. And that's like really the best way to break that down. And with that, I'll let Victor share.
Thank you. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Victor. And I want to thank all of you for being here today. And not because I was going to speak or Candida, but just, you know, that we are all showing up to our recovery. And, you know, what a great example that is for me. And hopefully for the newcomers, you know, to show up for my recovery and to try to carry the message. And I'm glad that it's being recorded, because I have a lot of good messages. No, I'm kidding. I joke around a lot, you know, just to calm my nerves down. I'm not nervous for some reason today, but I can tell you that I know Candida very well. I knew that she was going to go first. Not because she's a lady, it's just that she needs to go first, and that's okay, right? If you know Candida like I do, she's a wonderful gift in my life, and God knows how I feel about her. And we have continued to work together for many years. And it's funny, I don't keep track of year, but today I was like thinking about another similar situation that happened in my life, just like when Candida came into my life. And when she asked me to, because I saw her coming to the rooms, but when she asked me to sponsor her, by that time, I already had experience with sponsees. For some reason, I said to her, you know, I'll let you know. And I had to go to my sponsor, and he goes, he always tells me the same thing. He's like, Victor, where's the fear? Where's the fear, right? So once I told him, what I was doing was that I was comparing myself to her previous sponsors, right? And I won't give you the whole list. It's a long one. No, I'm kidding. You know, her previous sponsors. My sponsor told me, he says, well, you know, just listen to your own intuition and listen to what God is showing you. Of course I said yes, and we have continued to work and to grow together, right? And we walk side by side, and I learned so much from Candida. You know, we're like polar opposites in a lot of ways in our lives, right? She's a traveler and I'm not. And I mean, there's so many differences on the outside, but on the inside, we are identical, you know, and I love that. And I love that because, you know, through her, I was able to venture out in my life and become more open-minded and to grow not only in the program, but also outside of the program. Why am I telling you this whole story is because yesterday after we finished the steps, you know, I get a call from a friend in the program, in my support group. And we start talking and he goes, oh, you know, I decided, you know, I'm not growing with my sponsor. And I go, I'm saying to myself inside, I'm saying, oh boy, here we go, right? And he's like, blah, 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 blah. I decided to part ways. And I go, okay, well, you know, open it up and start praying. And, you know, I'm telling him like suggestion. He goes, no, I already prayed and I want you to be my sponsor. Again, similar experience, right? I'm here with the same situation, right? I started comparing myself to, you know, his previous sponsors, and I shouldn't do that, right? So this time the growth was that immediately I said, you know, I'll be honored to sponsor you. And, you know, we started talking about some suggestions and, you know, we're doing good. You know, this is like the honeymoon phase. So, you know, the first 24 hours are really, really good. And hopefully it will continue. But, you know, what a gift, you know, to be asked to sponsor people. And, and, and where I'm heading with all of this. And we read about, you know, our description of the alcoholic, and it talks about the ABCs, and, you know, the ABCs can apply to, it's an acronym that is used in so many areas of our real life outside of AAs. You know, it's like the, in medical terms, it's called the airway, the breathing, and the circulation. You know, it's like setting it in priorities, right? But the ABCs correlate to, or directly correlate to steps 1, 2, and 3. And it's just like that, right? It's like, I have a problem, you know, I'm crazy, you know, I need help, right? If self is my problem, self cannot be my solution, right? That I totally, took me a long time to understand that. You know, I needed a higher power, and I needed a God. In my case, it's a God. I'm okay with the word God. And it's a God of my understanding, but a lot of times I tell my sponsor, it's a God that I don't understand. And that's okay too. It just keeps me open-minded enough to receive and accept what's going on in my life today, accept, you know, life in life's terms, and be able to, you know, the best that I can be today, you know, loving and tolerant, which is really what we were talking about yesterday. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Candida. Again, on page 60, being convinced we were at step 3, which is that we decided to turn our will and our life over to God as we understood him. Just what do we mean by that? And just what do we do? Our first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. On that basis, we are almost always in collision with something or somebody, even though our motives are good. Most people try to live by self-propulsion. Each person is like an actor who wants to run the whole show, is forever trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, and the rest of the players in his own way. If his arrangements would only stay put, if only people would do as he wished, the show would be great. Everybody, including himself, would be pleased. Life would be wonderful. In trying to make these arrangements, our actor may sometimes be quite virtuous. He may be kind, considerate, patient, generous, even modest and self-sacrificing. On the other hand, he may be mean, egotistical, selfish, and dishonest. But as with most humans, he is more likely to have varied traits. Candida? You're muted, Candida.
Sorry.
There you go.
I'm an alcoholic. My name is Candida. You know, it's funny. I remember being in a meeting when I first got sober, and a woman said that she came in on the third step. And I remember that stuck with me, and I kind of thought about it. And I'm like, you know, I think I also came in on a third step. When I was growing up, you know, I was exposed to a lot of religion, and I don't know what point in my childhood, I just became very defiant against like religious people. Like I heard one thing that, you know, being gay was wrong, and there my mind just slammed shut to everything. And you know, so throughout my drinking, I was very defiant. When people would talk about God, it was like a subject I did not want to talk about. I became very argumentative, very defensive. And my attitude was like, if there is a God, you know, I'd rather, you know, if that's the way God is, I'd rather burn in hell. So that was my attitude. And by the time I got into AA, you know, I had been beaten down so badly that when I came into the program, I really thought this was a born again Christian movement. And I was so beaten that I thought even if that's what this is, I'm like willing to accept whatever. So to me, that's, you know, practicing step 1 and step 2, you know, before I got here, I already had those two steps down. And, you know, I really did. It was about coming to that step 3. You know, when I came into AA, like I said, you know, I was ready to like accept whatever you guys had to offer, whether it was a born again Christian movement or not. And you know, what I found is that nobody, you know, told me how to believe in a higher power. They just said that I had to get a power and that it had to be something greater than me, and it couldn't be me or my partner. And you know, I remember for a long time, I paid lip service, you know, like to the whole higher power thing. But a sponsor, a very smart sponsor, caught me and said, you know, you're saying this with your lips, but in your heart, you don't believe that there is a loving, you know, God out there. And, you know, there was a lot of things I had to do to like, kind of like embrace that idea of a loving higher power, because I never grew up with that. And the beauty of AA and the 12 steps is that, you know, I never have faith in the moment. I only have faith when I look back. And I remember somebody said, you know, faith for her was hope with a track record. And that is totally my experience, you know, by sticking around, working the steps and letting, you know, growing in this program, I have such a track record that there is a higher power, that there's a very loving higher power, and that definitely, you know, my life is working out. And I could never see those things in the moment. I can only look at it, you know, when looking back. So I'll pass.
Thank you. So I share it now?
Yeah.
Okay. You already know I'm an alcoholic, so I won't repeat that. You know, I facilitate a meeting right before this meeting on Mondays, and I just threw it out there just as a topic, only to broaden, you know, my ideas of where I was at, you know, with my third step, and it's not a lot of participants, it's like 10, but I just said, you know, do you, what Candita just mentioned, I said, do you believe that by walking into your first AA meeting, you have probably attempted to take or taken the first three steps, right? And I got different versions, and that's okay. You know, it's also because, you know, they're all in different stages in recovery, most of them in early stages of recovery. And there's a few fellowships in the meeting. So there's a lot of variables, but the majority of them agree that, you know, they have taken the third step. I also, you know, think that I came in with already a God that was working for me, right? Because, you know, I was doing a lot of things, you know, prior to coming into recovery that were nourishing me spiritually, right? But it's just that there was always a roadblock, right? There was always a roadblock that didn't allow me to progress because, of course, it had to do, you know, with, you know, drinking and, in my case, you know, all the dry goods. But, you know, so I always tell people, you know, when I was drunk, I was very spiritual, right? And then I'll tie it in. Yeah, I was very spiritual, you know, and, you know, give me a hit of acid and I was, you know, anyway, I won't mention drugs. I'm sorry. You know, whatever, I will become very spiritual. But I like how it says here, you know, he may be kind, considerate, patient, generous, even modest and self-sacrificing. I was all of that as long as I have my drink, right? As long as I have my stash, my stuff, right? I was in that, you know, balance, I was fine. But now take that away from me or try to take some of that away from me, and then I become mean, egotistical, selfish, and dishonest, right? Almost to the point of like, you know, I'll kill you if you attempt to do that again, you know, which is totally not in my nature, right? But it was in my nature when I was drinking. So, you know, it's that, and eventually, you know, we'll get to the part of, or we're touching on that part about, you know, the actor and being controlling. It comes down to being, you know, I don't want to lose control, right? I always thought, and I drank for 25 years, I thought that I always was in control. And the more sober I am and the longer I'm away from that drink, that last drink, the more I realize that I never had any control, right? So guess what? You know, I thought that by praying in the way that I was praying before, that was, you know, keeping me out of trouble. And actually it wasn't. It was keeping me safe. You know, God kept me safe because, you know, my story, I did a lot of high risk behaviors that I shouldn't be here, but, you know, God had other plans for me, right? And, you know, I totally relate to the part of the reading. I mean, this is it's a rich two paragraphs, you know, talking about, you know, the actor. I want everything to be right. You know, I was talking to Candita yesterday in our meeting that, you know, I'm very spiritual. It's like people are walking to me. It's like, oh, it's such a great day. It's a beautiful day. It's like, well, it's because things are going your way, right? But how about if you feel like that, things are not going my way? You know, today, one of the members in my group, his father died. Well, guess what? He showed up and he shared, but he was still grateful, you know, and he listed why he was grateful. That was an assignment from his sponsor. So that's how I gauge, where am I with my third step? Am I really turning it over? I don't know, but I can tell you that for me, I work very hard throughout the day to have that spiritual connection, the conscious contact that is required for me to progress throughout the day, to minimize the list of my mistakes that I have to look at in my 10-step inventory at the end of the day. So that's what I got out of that two paragraphs. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Moving on, page 62, selfishness, self-centeredness. That, we think, is the root of our troubles. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity, we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us, seemingly without provocation, but we invariably find that at some point in the past, we have made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot, though he usually doesn't think so. Above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of this selfishness. We must, or it kills us. God makes that possible, and there often seems no way of entirely getting rid of self without his aid. Many of us have had moral and philosophical convictions galore, but we could not live up to them even though we would have liked to. Neither could we reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing or trying on our own power. We had to have God's help.
That's a really beautiful reading. And just going back to the other reading, you know, and kind of what Victor said, you know, control is a big thing for me. I remember, you know, I used to think that perfection and control were like character assets. And you know, it's unfortunate, but in this world, you know, that's what people like value, like you're in control, you're perfection, you know? And I remember somebody said in a meeting that let's call it for what it really is. You know, perfectionism sounds sweet and nice, but perfectionism is, he called it insane, tyrannical, unrelenting, you know, these expectations of self. And, you know, I say that because, you know, the messages I get from the world about being in control and what I hear here, it's like polar opposites, you know, like all these 12 steps go against like every natural grain in my being. So like I can hear these things and read them over and over and over again, but it takes a long time to get messages from here to here. So, you know, control, that's a big thing. I want to know what's going to happen the next minute from now. Like, I don't want any surprises. Like, I want to know what, when my paycheck is going to come here, who's going to, it's a control. And letting go of that control is like really, really hard. And it says, you know, selfishness, self-centeredness, that we believe is the root of the problem. You know, I see it at my job, like trying to be nice, but I'm really just trying to get my way. And it's so deeply engraved. It's, you know, to go against that, to have any like grace from that. And I remember before I came into recovery, when something would happen in my world, it was, I would immediately react. Like, you hit me, I slapped you back. And coming into AA, there was the first gift that I noticed from coming into AA was I had this pause, this like pause button, where I had a little moment where I could like pause and I wasn't as reactionary, you know. And, you know, just that sentence at the end of that reading that we just read about, like, we needed God's help. Like, you know, I can definitely see in my life and my recovery that I do need God's help to run the ship, you know? And, you know, not just to get by, but to have a useful and happy life. Like, I definitely need God's help. And for me, I feel like I've had some of that grace, but I definitely get in the way. And, you know, I remember a lot of people saying when I first got sober, like, you know, get out of the way, you're in your way. And I never like understood that, like, how am I in the way? I don't get it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember I had a cat, and I was trying to feed my cat its dinner, and she kept on putting her head in between the food and the bowl. And it's like, I was trying to pour her like this big, nice, big plate of food, and she just kept on putting her head in the way. And I thought, maybe that's how my higher power feels about me. Like, he's trying to give me a big plate of food, and I just keep putting my head in the way. And, you know, just one other thing, there was a speaker at a convention that I went to. He said, you know, you're trying to grovel for rhinestones when God is trying to give you diamonds. And, you know, that's so true. That's like such the third step for me.
Thank you, Candita. So I already mentioned the part about, you know, if self is the problem, self cannot be the solution. That's where I tie it into to our reading, you know, and I read a lot from this page 62, because if I let my guard down, right, if I'm not plugged in, if I'm not connected, if I'm not in fit spiritual condition, you know, I'm very selfish and self-centered. It's all about me, right? You know, I tell people that I work, you know, I work in a university and, you know, they might, you know, make an announcement in a meeting that they're going to give an award for something. And I go, oh, it's me. I never even apply for that or even sign up for it. But in my mind, it's like, oh, they're going to praise me, right? So it's that self-centeredness that is still there at my core. And, you know, and I see it in so many areas still in my life. And that phrase, there's a long period of reconstruction ahead. For me, there's still a long period of reconstruction ahead. I'm not minimizing or making myself, you know, the worst one here in AA, but I do see my progress, but I still have a long ways to go. I was walking on campus one day and I was in a hurry. I was on a mission, right? Because I my life is so like still, instead of a journey, it's like a destination, right? So I'm like on a mission, I have to get there. And I stepped on somebody's, you know, foot, right? And we were like nearing the door and I apologized, of course. And when he got to the door, he opened the door for me. And it was such a beautiful gesture of humility. He wasn't doing it to get back or to be smart of anything. If anything, he was like a way younger student, but it was such a beautiful message for me to remind myself, you know, to be humble, to think of others, right? To think of others first. I don't have to walk around, and I know we're reading from the big book, but I love the 12 and 12, and I tie it into the philosophy of self-sufficiency is not paying off. Plainly enough, it is a bone-crushing juggernaut whose final achievement is ruin, right? I can act like a juggernaut anytime, right? If I'm on a mission, it's like if I feel threatened that in traffic, we always talk about traffic, right? I'm fine as long as I'm not in a hurry, but if I'm in a hurry, you know, I'm tailgating you or cutting you off and stuff like that. And I don't like it when people do that to me. So I have to remind myself how that feels on the other side of that equation, right? You know, we're already talking about God. We have to talk about God, you know, God of your understanding, your higher power, whatever that may be, you know, and I can only do this, you know, with God's help. That's the only way that I get connected. That's the only way that I am able to be open-minded. So going back to step two, right? Hopefully I don't have to, you know, undo my steps all the way to step one, you know, but when I get, you know, that close-minded or shut down, it's like, you know, there's no way, you know, that's going to happen. And I get into insane thinking and all that. This is the only way. My sponsor always tells me, if you're not willing, you pray for willingness. You know, how simple is that? Well, I don't think of that on my own. I still, even today, I still have to be reminded that whenever I'm not willing, because I can get like a two-year-old having a tantrum on the floor and I'm 62 years old. It's like, you know, my way, you know, and I don't want to, you know, when you ask me, you know, okay, what action have you taken? Oh no, I've just been praying about it. I did a lot of that in the beginning. I can still do that today. I'll pray and wait. No, I have to pray and take an action, right? And that's how I work my program. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Again, page 62. This is the how and the why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that hereafter in this drama of life, God was going to be our director. He is the principal. We are his agents. He is the Father, and we are his children. Most good ideas are simple, and this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arch through which we passed to freedom.
You know, recently I was the secretary of this group here in San Francisco, and I asked David to speak for me, and he shared on the third step. And, you know, I've been to a lot of third step meetings. I've been to a lot of conventions, and I swear that was the best third step message I have ever heard. And it hasn't left me. And he talked about how that idea, you know, that I am the child, he is the father, that that's the keystone of this arch that we're building to pass to freedom. And I had never heard it that way. And to me, that was just such a simple concept that like made the whole third step come alive for me. And, you know, I am the child, he is the father, he's the manager, I'm the employee, you know, and most good ideas are simple. And if I do truly, truly take that position that I am the child and he is the father, I don't need to worry. I don't need to control. I can have fun. I can be a child, you know? But like I said, everything in my nature, everything in my instincts is like, this all goes against the grain, you know? So, you know, I have to remind myself, constantly remind myself that I'm not in control. I am not God. And where in my mind do I think that I am God? Like, how successful have I been making things happen? You know, I usually, when I'm running the ship, it runs to the ground. I look at all the things in my life, like my alcoholism. When I finally surrendered that to God, and I truly surrendered that to God, like that was perfectly and taken from me. You know, it was, the obsession was lifted. I had nothing to do with that. I tried everything on my own willpower to stop drinking, and I could not do it. And then coming to AA, the obsession lifted and has never come back. Next month, I'll be 20 years sober, and I have not had an obsession to drink. And then the parts of my life that I hold on to that I say, you know, I'm going to control this because I know what to do with my money and I know what to do with my romances. And those are the two areas that it's like, how bloody does my head have to be against the wall before I say, okay, I give this to you. And my first sponsor, you know, she passed away when I was 13 years sober. And, you know, even though she wasn't my sponsor at that time, I always stayed in touch with her. And she taught me so much. And she said, you know, Candida, God is a gentleman. He's not going to come in unless he's invited. And it's so true. You know, she's like, God can't take something that you're not going to give him, you know? And I just have to remember that God is a gentleman. He's not going to come in unless he's invited. So I need to, like, you know, try to remember to invite him into my life and keep that simple idea. Like, I'm not the director. And, you know, David, that was amazing that day. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you, Candida. That was wonderful. You know, I wonder why they put drama of life. I love drama. You know, anyway, if my mind is not in the right place, you know, I'm like, I start taking people's inventory, and it's a little bit more difficult to do it via Zoom, but I can still do it if I wanted to. But you know, when people say, oh, that's my favorite part of the book, or my favorite line of the book, but this is truly one of my favorites, because I have a few favorites, but I love it because in these two paragraphs, this one and the next one that maybe we'll read or not, you know, it covers like four major area or archetypes in my life, right? I always have a director around me. I always have a principal around me. I always have a father around me. And I always have an employer, which is what we're going to read next, around me. So that sort of like covers everybody that is around me. And it tells me that, you know, they are not my director. You know, they are not my father. They are not my principal. They are not my employer. God is all of that for me, right? So, you know, that's how I apply, you know, this reading and these principles, you know, to my life, especially when I'm in a space of drama or indecision, or, you know, am I doing my will or God's will, or should I do this? Should I turn right or left? You know, that's where, you know, I can bring God into any of these areas of my life. And, you know, I too I don't question it, but I do. When I stopped drinking, I did not come into AA and I did not go to treatment. You know, I stay home just reading from a book, and not the big book, just reading from a book and praying. So, you know, God got me sober, and that's been my experience. And again, you know, I did the same behavior with the drinking and all the other behaviors that were destructive. They were all destructive behaviors. I did that consistently every day for 25 years. So then to stop all of that all of a sudden and not go into withdrawal, I went a little bit more crazy than what I was normally, but that's okay. You know, what I did, what I had to do was just, you know, be patient and go through the feelings, and, you know, and I did everything that we actually read in the Living Sober book. You know, I would eat a chocolate cake at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, what am I doing? You know, I never like sweets and, you know, crazy stuff like that. I was pretty much going insane, but I was not drinking, right? And God got me sober. And I don't ever want to forget that, that obsession was lifted and it hasn't come back. You know, that is not our experience in AA, right? So from our two co-founders, one had the obsession taken away, the other one had obsession for 2.5 years, and they both stay sober, right? And they both continue to help, you know, millions of us. So, you know, how wonderful to have, you know, that solid understanding of having, you know, that full support from a loving God as we understand God. Thank you.
Thank you. From page 63, we were now at step 3. Many of us said to our Maker, as we understood him, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help, of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. We thought well before taking this step, making sure we were ready, that we could at last abandon ourselves utterly to him.
Anita?
You know, I have an interesting experience with that third step. You know, when I first came into the program, I was 24 years old. I was completely insane. And there was a woman that whenever she shared, I was like, wow, like, just like that. I had never heard anybody share like that. Like, when she shared, it just like touched my heart. And I said, you know, I'm going to have that lady be my sponsor. And I remember I called her. She never raised her hand like to be a sponsor, but I called her anyways. And she said, yes. And the first time we met, she said, do you have any prejudices? I'm like, no, like, I'm not prejudiced. She's like, okay, whatever. She's like, well, is there anything that's stopping you from believing in a higher power? And I said, well, actually, you know, I'm afraid that I'll believe in a higher power. Like, I'll build this trust in a higher power. And then like people that I love will be taken away. And she says, well, you know, people that you love are going to be taken away. People are going to die. That's life. But would you rather have a higher power or not have a higher power? And I had never heard it like that. I'm like, you know, I'd rather have a higher power. And the second time we met, she put me on my fourth step. And it was right before we did the fifth step that we got on our knees and we said the third step prayer. So I didn't have any time to like think about the third step. And it's kind of cool. Like I always think, did she do it that way with her other sponsees, or was that just the way she did it with me? I don't know. But, you know, I've heard like Joe and Charlie share, and they talk about, you know, in the third step that we make a decision to turn our life and our will over to the care of God. But it's just a decision. It doesn't mean anything. I can make a decision right now that I'm going to go to Spain tomorrow. But if I don't like get online, book a ticket, pack my bags, get on the airplane, nothing happens. So it's just a decision. I have to back that decision up with action. And the action is taking the rest of the 12 steps. And by taking the rest of those 12 steps, I really do turn my will is changed, you know, like God's grace, you know, works through my life. And, you know, my experience is that I do work the steps, but the steps definitely work me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, So I don't know that the third step prayer is so beautiful, but it's just a decision. I have to take action. And also I've heard, you know, turning my life and my will over, my life is my actions, and my will is my thinking. And Joe and Charlie also say, like, all action lies in thought, you know? So everything you do, it starts with a thought. Like everything I do, move my hand, that was a thought before it was an action. So if God is directing my thinking, then my actions are going to be directed, you know? And that's just a nice way to look at it. Thank you.
Thank you, Pandita. So I was reflecting and meditating a little bit in this afternoon, and what I was thinking about was, you know, when I, you know, first did my third step with my sponsor, and you know, the memory recall is still intact. I mean, I can tell you exactly the time of the day, the place, the setting. You know, when I laid on my knees, you know, the smell and the environment. I mean, everything. And I cannot recall the exact wording because my prayers, you know, continue to change. And I pray in Spanish, so I won't try to translate it. But that's okay. That's what worked for me, and that's how I communicate with my higher power. But I definitely always put in, you know, this part of the third step prayer that talks about take away my difficulties, the victory over them, may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. And, you know, whenever I don't want to, let's say that, you know, somebody gets sick and I'm like, oh, you know, God, please heal them, you know, take that illness away. And you know, in the program, I have learned that it's better if I pray. And I'm not saying there's a right way to pray or a wrong way to pray. Just pray. That's what I told one of my participants earlier today. You know, make any attempt that you want to pray. But for me, what I do is I say, you know, take away their difficulties, right? In my case, also what I apply a lot is, you know, I have to be relieved of the bondage of self, getting back to that self-centeredness and, you know, and selfishness, right? So once I relieve myself or ask God to relieve myself from self, then I'm only open to maybe look around and try to help others, right? Because the constant suggestion throughout is a common thread throughout our literature is, you know, if I don't feel good, go and help somebody, right? That's constant. That's throughout our literature. And, you know, and this is a good reminder. And I thought Candita was going to mention, because her sponsor used to say before every meeting, she used to say, let me hear what you want me to hear, let me say what you want me to say, and let me always do thy will, right? And that's how, you don't recall that.
But, yeah.
but you know, again, the prayer life, you know, my prayer life, right? It didn't have to be as simple as, you know, some people have shared, you know, just write something on a mirror and then erase it at night and put thank you at night. You know, or if you get up in the morning, help me stay sober at night, thank you for helping me stay sober. It doesn't matter. It's an attempt for me to be open-minded enough, right? I always, you know, tell people, if I got up in the morning and the first thing I did was have a drink, and that's my experience, you know, I can get up in the morning and the first thing I do, not go to a restroom, not do where you check my emails, it's, you know, hit my knees and ask God for help. It might not be a long, because, you know, I'm a little bit older now and my prostate doesn't hold, you know, but, you know, it can be a short prayer, right? It can be a short prayer. And then later on, I'll do my full reading and, you know, tie into my meditation and continue from there. But any attempt to connect, you know, especially in the morning for me, right, is so important, because I can get up and get so busy and, I'll share one more thing, because I don't really want to hog all the time, but, you know, I believe our program is a spiritual program, right? You know, we talk about that. It's a spiritual program. It's on an altruistic level, right? It's about, you know, helping others, getting out of self, right? So being a spiritual program, within the word spiritual, we have the word embedded ritual. So I have to create rituals, and I do. You know, if I don't have those rituals, believe me, you know, Victor goes into you know, Victor's world, you know, into the drama of life, into La La Land, right? Because I can escape like that. I don't need a drug or an alcohol today to do that, but I have to get centered with all these rituals, little rituals that I have to do, you know, in order to not only get connected, but stay connected throughout the day. Meetings does that for me, right? When we finish this meeting today, it's not what I share, what I heard, what happened. It's, you know, I will be transformed. I will be transformed, and I'm being transformed right now. So thank you.
Thank you. So our last reading is a short one. Next, we launched out on a vigorous course, on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is personal house cleaning.
So I'll be quick about this because I know we don't have a lot of time, but.
Oh, please take your time.
But I remember when I got to that, like I said, my first sponsor, she did not hesitate on getting me on that four step. I think our second meeting, she showed me how to write a four step. And, you know, I was coming to lots of meetings, doing lots of service. I was doing that two-step dance that they talk about, 1 and 12. And, you know, I was on fire with the program, so happy. Like, I don't know if everybody else has that experience, but I came into AA and I was on a pink cloud. And I loved this thing. It was like, I found the home I had never had. And so I was working on that four step and my sponsor, we would talk on the phone. She's like, so how's that four step coming? Like, how's it going? I'm like, no, it's good. It's good. She's like, do you really want this thing? I'm like, yeah. She's like, well, you're not doing it. And I'm like, I'm trying, I'm doing it. And she's like, Candida, try to pick up that glass of water, try to put it down. And I did that. And she's like, is that trying? And I'm like, no. She's like, you're doing it, right? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, okay, I don't want you ever to say the word try. Try is a lie. She's like, in life, you either do it or you don't do it. And when you don't do it, it's because you don't want to do it. So if you don't want to do it, get honest with your higher power and ask for willingness. And I remember hearing that a lot. Like, if you're not willing, just pray for the willingness. Pray to be willing to be willing, and it works. It really does. And I remember I got so pissed off at her. I hung the phone up on her. That was the first time I ever hung up on her. I hung up on her, and I was going to bed that night, and I thought, you know, she's right. She's right. And I got down to the fear, and the fear was I knew deep down in my heart, I knew that by working these steps, I was going to change. And I didn't know what I was going to be changed into. And that's what I was afraid of. I was afraid of that unknown. Like, what am I going to turn into? And once I got, you know, to that fear, and I realized that fear, I was able to get through and I finished that four step. And I'm so grateful that I did. And there was one last thing I was going to share, but I forgot. So I guess it wasn't meant to be. So I'll pass it on to Victor.
Thank you. So Malcolm, you're the one that's doing the reading, correct?
Correct.
So you stopped at personal house cleaning. Is that where it was?
Yes. So, you want me to put it back up?
No. I have the book in front of me.
Yeah.
It's interesting, you know, the ending of that sentence is, you know, which many of us had never attempted. Hello? That's me, right? You know, who wants to clean anything? There's nothing wrong here. You know, action. So I was reminded today in some of the readings that I did that, really, you know, step one and step two are admission steps, right? They're like recognition, they're admission, they're awareness, right? Step three is action. And from there on, right? That's why, you know, if we don't do a step three, it's a pivotal step. If we don't do that step three, nothing continues to move. It won't. It can't move, right? So it's the beginning of that action. And I'm listening to a step series on Fridays, and it's somebody that I've listened to numerous times in my recovery, but every time I hear something new. And he says, in the literature, and I have to go back now, of course, you know, not to be defiant, I just want to make sure that it's there and that he's not lying to us. No, I'm kidding. You know, he says that, you know, that every step is followed by, and now we take more action. Right? Or there's a suggestion in the wording that might not be as direct as it is here, like you read, Malcolm, that it says, now we launch out on our course of vigorous action, right? You know, not to scare us off because we're going into the fourth step, but it's just a matter of reminding ourselves that we need to take more action. It's all about from now on, think about it. I have to like really, you know, chew on that for a little bit. It's like, yeah, every step from step three on, it takes action. It takes a little bit more effort, right? And Candita and I had this conversation that, you know, whenever a sponsee or anybody, even myself, I've had to do it. If I get stuck on a step, my sponsor takes me back one step. He says, you know, you know, the action that you took on the previous step is not allowing you to move forward. So you need to move on to the next one. And I think that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Victor. And thank you, Candida. It's good of you to come and join us tonight. I'll be unmuting everyone at the end of the meeting so that they can thank you too. Again, as I pointed out at the beginning of the meeting, our PayPal link is in the chat. You'll find it up near the top of the chat. That's our basket. Credit cards and debit cards work just fine. Our seventh tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. And a word about safety, our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Announcements. I'm going to, you all can unmute yourselves if you have an announcement. Any meeting closures, meeting openings, if you want to post a link to a meeting you like, you can put it in the chat. Any announcements?
I have an announcement about a meeting. It's a Lifeline on Friday night at St. Tim's. It used to happen at 8 o'clock, but when COVID hit, it is a 7 o'clock in-person meeting. So if you're looking for an in-person meeting Friday night, 7 o'clock, St. Tim's, tables are spread out. It's comfortable. With COVID going on, they're in like this huge room, and it's a decent if you need an in-person meeting, or contact me and I'll give you more info.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Alcoholic David.
David.
Let's see, next Sunday night, right, Simple Actions, we have a 7 p.m. Speaker and Ask It Basket meeting format. And this coming Sunday, we've got Katie Parker from Austin, Texas. Really excited about that. So all are welcome. Sunday, 7 o'clock. Thank you,
David. Anyone else? Any other announcements? Okie dokie. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or need a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members raise their hands. Yay. Thanks, guys. Sponsorship. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we will be available after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us. Thanks to all who participated, and I'm going to unmute everyone after we recite the Lord's Prayer and give everyone a chance to thank our speakers. And Amy has volunteered to read from page 164 for us, the last four paragraphs. Excuse me, the last two. Amy? Um, I can't unmute her.
I can read.
Thank you, Stephanie.
I got it. Okay, go ahead.
I'm Stephanie. I'm an alcoholic and an addict. A vision for you, big book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. So see to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you tread the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you. Okay. There we go. Thanks. Okay, so we'll close with the Lord's Prayer. And you all can unmute yourselves if you like. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us
this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thanks.
Thank you, Candida. I love you.
Thank you, Candida. Thanks, Victor.
Thank you, guys. So good to see you.
Thank you both. That was wonderful.